So I got a story from a woman named Andrea, originally from Colorado, now a resident of Uganda. How she got there is a pretty crazy miracle. She went there as a student for class credit to learn how to do microfinancing, and while she was there, she found an orphanage where the children were being abused and neglected really badly.
Over the course of those 2 months, witnessing the day-to-day life of the kids, the abuse they faced, I fell in love with them. You know, they became so much more than just, you know, needy kids that you would see on commercials, or, you know, they became people, and they're kids, and they have personalities and smiles and beautiful faces. I knew that God had a bigger plan for them, and that they shouldn't be trapped in this situation of neglect and abuse.
And her heart broke, and she called her dad and said, "I'm not coming home." Her dad said, "You get on a plane right now." She said, "Nah, if I don't do something, who will?" So she stuck around, pestered the Ugandan government long enough until they shut down that orphanage. And then they handed 40 children to her care. Andrea didn't know what she was doing, but she did something. And now there's an orphanage in Iganga, Uganda called Musana that houses over 120 children. And Andrea is the head of this orphanage.
On September 16th, 2008, we actually got to move the first 40 kids from that other orphanage. And I remember bringing the kids to Musana, and they lined up, and we said go, and they all ran to their name tags and jumped in their beds and, like, had the biggest smiles on their faces. Not one of them had ever slept in a bed before. And that night, I remember going around and giving every single one of them, like, a kiss on the forehead and a hug and saying, like, "You're home now, you're safe. I love you, God loves you." And it was the best, by far the best moment of my life, and the moment where I knew that God had such big plans for these kids, and that these kids were going to be the future leaders of Uganda and the future leaders of this world.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now, and thought, how do we ever get so far down, and how's it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something?
Everybody is capable of making a difference, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what your job is, no matter what situation you're in. Every single person is capable of doing something and making the world a better place.
So I shook my fist in heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you. Uh-oh. Come on, say. If not us, then who? If not me and you right now. Well, it's time for us to do something. Yes, it is. If not now, then when will we see an end of this pain? Well, it's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. Somebody say yeah. Well, I'm so tired of talking about how we are God's hands and feet, when it's easier to say than to be. We live like angels of apathy who tell ourselves, it's all right, somebody else will do something.
In Uganda, they say that there's 2.5 million orphans. And orphan is defined by a child that's lost their father. So many of the kids at Musana actually do have mothers, but they don't have the resources, the skills to be able to take care of them. And so we want to start a new project to empower mothers to take care of their children.
Not us, then who? If not me and you right now. Well, it's time for us to do something. Well, if not now, then when? Well, it's not enough to do nothing. it's time for us to do something, yeah. We are the salt of the earth. We are a city on a hill.
So many people always say, like, oh, I feel so bad for those children. I feel so bad for these people in Uganda or in Africa. And honestly, like, I walk around the community of Iganga, and I admire the people so much. The joy, the spirit, the community, the love between them. And that's what it's all about.
Now if not us, then who? If not me, you right now. Well, it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? Oh, will we see an end to all this pain? Well, it's not enough to do nothing. Oh, it's time for us to something. But it's time for us to do something. Ooh. But it's time for us to do something. Do something.
Morning. Welcome to Do Something Sunday. That kind of says it all, really. I hardly need to say much more, but kind of wanted to give you a bit of background into how this morning came about. Basically, one morning a couple of months ago, I have Wednesdays with Lorelei where we spend it as a Mummy and Lorelei day, and I decided to take her to Build-A-Bear in Canterbury to get a One Direction teddy bear. And on the way there, this song came on my iPod, and we listened to it. And at the end, she goes, "Mummy, I love that song. Can we have it again, please?" So we had it again, and then we had it again. And after three or four times of listening to it, I said, "Lorelei, do you know what the song's about?" And she said, "No, please tell me, Mummy." So I explained to her that basically it was talking about how we should be God's hands and feet, that there's a world out there that's hurting and there are people who are sad and need somebody, and God wants us to be his hands and feet in the world and do something for him. And her immediate reaction was, "Well, Mummy, I want to do that right now." And I was like, "Oh, I want to go to Build-A-Bear." And she said, "Right now, Mummy, I want to be God's hands and feet." And I was just totally blown away by her reaction. And if now you said to her, "What does God want us to be, Lorelei?" She'll say, "His hands and feet." And then she'll say, "Right now," like that. And we did still go to Build-A-Bear, but we decided between us that we would find ways on this, our Wednesday together, of being God's hands and feet. So it might be going and doing a visit. She did a cap visit with Gary one time and things like that, so that she can understand what it is to be God's hands and feet. And on the way home, the same thing happened. She wanted to listen to it again. And in between all the chatter, which is rare, but there were some moments with no chatter, I started praying, and I was thinking about my mum's friend, Manuela, in Romania. And I kind of did that thing in the song where it says, "I shook my fist at heaven, and I said, God, why don't you do something?" And I was thinking, what's this lady going to do? Her mum's had 2,000 euros worth of operations and they have no money. How are you going to get them the money? What's going to happen? How are you going to do something? And just like the song, he turned around and said, "I did. I created you." And out of that, I thought of a way that I can involve Lorelei as well in being God's hands and feet in that situation. So we did a cake sale thing where we'd bake cakes every week, and people kindly bought them off us, and other people baked cakes as well. So we were all being God's hands and feet in that situation. And amazingly, through other donations as well, we got the money in, and Manuela got very blessed in the process, which was wonderful. So that's kind of the background to where this came from. And I remembered a while back we had a showcase Sunday type thing where we'd had breakfast at South Kent College and looked at all the different things we do in the church. And I thought how good it would be if people here had a chance to see what they could get involved with. You might come on a Sunday and think, well, it's great, but actually, what can I do? How can I be involved? And we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and in particular the Beatitudes. And after the Beatitudes, it goes on to talk about us being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that a light hidden on a hill shouldn't be hidden. It should give its light. I think that's what this morning is, really. It's about us being a light on the hill that doesn't get covered up, but is allowed to give its light. In my Bible reading this year, I have been kind of looking at different New Testament books, and I came across a really amazing verse that had never stood out to me before in Galatians. And I think it's because of where I'm at right now that it stood out. It's funny how it happens with the Bible, isn't it? You can read something a million times and it not stand out, and then just when God's brought you to a place where it means something, suddenly the light goes on. And in the letter to Galatians, Paul has been to visit the apostles and had some talks with them. And at the end, he says, "All they asked was that we continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do." And I was blown away by this verse. I think I emailed you, John, didn't I? I said, I'd never seen this verse before. It's amazing. And I was thinking of Paul with, you know, the apostles like Peter and John and others. And I imagine they get together and they'd have these incredibly deep and meaningful theological discussions, and probably arguments where they differ in different ideas of theology and who they should be reaching, what they should be doing. But at the end of his time with the apostles, the only thing that they asked was that we continue to remember the poor. And that was the very thing he'd been eager to do. And it just struck me so much. You know, sometimes we tie ourselves up, don't we, in all these different things of what's right and what's wrong. But actually what God wants is that we have a heart for the poor and the hurting. And I think I'm at a point in my life where I'm realising that there really are an amazing amount of possibilities of what we can do for him. And I think previously I have been someone who would be quite active, but active in the things that I've always been active in. So I've been happy leading worship, still am, singing, doing a bit with the youth. You know, the kinds of things that have been in my comfort zone and I've been doing for a while. And I've kind of thought, it's all right, somebody else would do the other stuff. It's their gifting. Norman can do the evangelism. You know, lots of times we get into those sort of mindsets, don't we? We kind of see somebody and think, well, they're the ones who are going to do that thing. But I don't think that's how we ought to be looking at it. And I think I've also found myself thinking at different times, well, when my circumstances change, I can do that. So you're young and you say, I'm too young. Or you're single, so you say, when I get married. Or you've got young children, so you say, when they've grown up. And all of a sudden you find that you're the other end of your life, and then you're saying, oh, but I'm too old to do it now. And I think, well, what is the optimum time for doing the thing that you've had placed on your heart to do? And the optimum time is now. Wherever you are right now, it's the optimum time. And I've been thinking about influence and how every single one of us has an influence somewhere. And I'm sure that a few of you have sat there and thought, not me, I don't influence anybody. But you do. It might just be your status update on Facebook. Or it might be in the mums you talk to in the playground at school, or the person sitting opposite you at your desk at work or school. It might even be a person doing circuits next to you on a bike. It's definitely not me. But for some of you, that's your thing, and that's where you're meeting people, and that's where you have influence. And I think that this thing called influence is our doing something. That's where we do something. We have an influence on people. And I kind of recognise not everybody's going to go and set up an orphanage in Uganda like that incredibly inspiring woman did. Although I really hope somebody here might. I kind of wish at this point we had that national lottery finger could point down and say, it's you, you're the one, you're going to do that. Somebody might be feeling that stirring in their heart right now anyway. And obviously there is a chance to build a school in Burkina Faso, which you could get involved with if you feel inspired by what you've just seen on the screen. But wherever you are right now, you can be the one to do something. So it might be just that you're going to commit to buying a tin of hot dogs every week for the drop-in. It might be you're going to commit to writing a letter once a month to somebody serving overseas. You might volunteer to help in the creche here on a Sunday morning, or to set up chairs and do other things that are needed to help church happen. Maybe volunteer at the new food bank at the Rainbow Centre. Maybe you're going to think of your own thing that you could raise money for, like with my cake baking sale that I did for a specific situation. Maybe you're just going to like Azizi Life on Facebook and get that some more profile. It's been amazing, hasn't it, this week to see those of you who do social media stuff. Over £2 million was raised for cancer research just through a campaign. Nobody even knew how it started. But it's incredible the power that we can have through social media for good as well as other stuff that's not so good. So I guess the question that I want to ask you this morning is, are you prepared to stop saying it's okay, somebody else will do something? And I think if there's something that you're feeling passionate about, then probably it's that you are the one to do something. God stirred that passion inside of you for a reason. And if you're kind of not feeling passionate about anything, like what Joey was sharing earlier, which is so spot on, if that's how you're feeling this morning, we didn't quite get to hear it on the song because the lady was talking, but there's a line in it that says, I don't want a flame, I want a fire. And in anything that we commit to doing for God, it's not through our human effort, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, stirring a passion, giving us a joy in it, and giving us that stirring. And I want us to spend some time just asking God to fan the flame into a fire. I believe that if you're a Christian this morning, there's a flame there. It's not gone out. Sometimes we just need the Lord to come and fan it into a fire for him so that we have more of a passion for doing what he's asked us to do. We had Jeremy speaking on Blessed Are Those Who Hunger and Thirst for Righteousness. He talked about Isaiah 58, the kind of fast that God's looking for, to loose the chains of injustice, setting the oppressed free, sharing food with the hungry, providing shelter, clothing the naked. This is righteousness. And Jeremy went on to ask us, where is our desperate focus? Are we satisfied? Are we taking justice seriously? And Jonathan, when he spoke, he talked about us coming out of our comfort zones, trusting God that what's on the other side is good. So each of you have got in front of you a green piece of paper and a white piece of paper. I thought it was good for you to have the words of the song because they're just so good and you didn't get to hear them all on the song earlier. But they're really good for inspiring and for asking God to really stir this in us. And on the other side are some blank lines for you to consider completing. And if the band could come up, I've asked if we could just sing a song and ask the Lord if he would come and speak to us during this song. Ask him to fan the flame again inside of you, that you can feel passion again. And when you've done that, ask him to help discover what it is that he wants you to do. And that's where the white sheet might come in this morning. You can have a look at there and see if there's anything on that list that inspires you. Some of the things might be a short-term decision, some might be long-term. But just have a look and remember that nobody is disqualified from this or unqualified for this. Don't let the enemy sow those seeds in your mind. There's such a wide array of opportunities out there, honestly. There's so many different things that there's nothing that would disqualify you from finding something that you could do for Jesus this morning. Okay, so once we finish the song, I'm then going to explain the next part of the service. Thank you. Jesus, that we just are here this morning because it's all about you, Jesus. It's all for your glory and your fame, so that the earth might be filled with your glory. Lord, would you stir our hearts again this morning with a passion for your name, Jesus. Lord, give us hearts that are on fire for you. Lord, where the flame is flickering, Father God, would you come? But with your rushing wind, fan the flame, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that a bruised reed you do not break. Lord, you lead us gently by the hand and you move us forward. Lord, I pray for each person sitting before me today, Lord, would you gently lead them by the hand, Lord, into what you have called them to. Lord, that there'd be no fear, because there's no fear in you, Jesus. But Lord, that there would be a sense of excitement, Father, that there are things, really practical things that we can do, Lord, that would help spread your fame, would help bring your glory. Thank you that you choose to use us, Lord. That's just mind-blowing in itself, that you actually want us to be your hands and feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us that amazing honor here on this earth. Help us not to throw that honor to one side, Jesus. Help us not to realize that that's for us. Help us to take it up, Lord Jesus, and to run with it. In Jesus' name, amen.